joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines to talk about the monster development of the Supreme Court's ruling yesterday regarding sports wagering. Friend of the show, ladies and gentlemen, Todd Furman, former odds maker at Caesar's Palace, host of the Bet the Board podcast, plus a gaming analyst for CBS Interactive and FS1. Todd, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. Your reaction when you heard the news yesterday at around 7:20 Pacific?
I'll tell you one thing. I was definitely surprised because my phone goes off about that time during football season on Monday mornings, but I'm not used to having it vibrate nearly out of my pocket during a slower sports time of year. Was surprised that the edict came down when it actually happened. Really believed that we were going to be closer to legalization in early June. Obviously, plenty of excitement and enthusiasm in terms of what the sports betting landscape will look like. But now the process begins. What those questions that have to be answered by various states to institute sports betting in a capacity consistent with a good, healthy product offering.
Is the reaction in Las Vegas one of, oh, this is great, or is it, oh, no, now we're going to be losing some of our potential customers?
Well, I think a lot of people were surprised that it happened as quickly as it did within Nevada. Losing the monopoly will hurt a little bit. But at the same time, most of the operators that will have a strong foothold in the New Jerseys and the Mississippis and other states of the in this fine country will be the large casino operators that have an established presence here. So I don't think they're that concerned about things really passing them by. And the joke I made to folks on the East Coast, I said, yeah, if you're trying to make a decision in the middle of March where you're going to go for 96 hours during the NCAA tournament, you're going to go out to Las Vegas where it's 80 degrees, sunshine, beautiful women, cheap drinks, or are you going to head to the boardwalk of Atlantic City? It's still a no-brainer where I think a lot of people go for peak sports holidays.
How quickly do you think this is going to move throughout some of these states that have already begun the process of legislation? Jersey obviously is ready to go. We just had our state rep from Missouri on in our previous hour, and he indicated that he thought it was going to be something that would happen next year. Your thoughts on how quickly it'll move throughout the United States, Todd?
Well, I think New Jersey has already said they're looking to be able to try and take a bet as early as the NBA Finals, which would fall on May 31st at Monmouth Racetrack. I think that's a very realistic possibility if they fast-track some of the legislation. Other states are going to be much slower to try and move a product to market. I really believe Atlantic City and New Jersey as a whole will be at the forefront of all this, so much so that I think when we're talking about betting sports in that state during football season, you may actually have the ability to utilize mobile apps as well. I'll put Mississippi on the fast track. Another state that's been favorable for gaming operators, I really believe they're going to be up and running by football season. And then you look at the Pennsylvanias of the world, the Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, what have you. Some of those states are really going to have to wrap their head around the tax rate, much like the state of Missouri will as well. Because if Pennsylvania wants to charge 35 to 40% in some of their gaming tax brackets, that's not going to allow any of the operators to offer traditional minus 110 juice and actually be able to turn a profit. So they're going to have to look themselves in the mirror and figure out what's most important to them.
I think it's a good thing for the states that allow it. My guess is that the biggest winners out of all of this will be the leagues and the teams, the NFL, the NBA, and the teams. Mark Cuban said when he got the news, my team just doubled in value. Is he right?
Mark Cuban is a smart man. He knows those right fees and ad revenues and everything else that comes along with it are poised to go through the roof. Now, I'm not sure if the teams are actually going to be able to collect a royalty or this proposed integrity fee. That remains to be seen. But at the same time, this is going to increase fan engagement. It's going to allow people to watch games in their entirety because when you look at the betting options that are available throughout Europe, particularly in the in-game category, you're going to have folks glued to the edge of their seat, even if their pregame over-under or pregame side bet may have long since been determined. Perfect illustration of that. You watch last night's game between Golden State and Houston. The spread really wasn't in debate for most of the fourth quarter, but if you were sitting on a Rockets ticket plus 10.5 live, you were going to watch that thing to the bitter end.
Do you think the people that aren't betting on sports now will begin to bet on sports in large numbers?
I don't want to say in large numbers, but I think there will be a curiosity for those folks that were worried about using a corner bookie or sending money to a country in the Caribbean that they weren't able to pronounce. Those folks may begin to experiment a little bit, even if it's with a $5 or $10 bet, because it's taking some of their office pools and some of the brackets that they filled out year in, year out, kind of the next level. They know the consumer protections are in place, and they don't feel like they're doing anything illegal. So I think you're going to have some of those folks open themselves up to sports betting, but I don't think the floodgates are going to open by any stretch of the imagination, and all of a sudden we're going to have folks that never bet sports trying to move large sums of money each and every Sunday throughout the fall.
Todd Furman on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. He's a gaming analyst, host of the Bet the Board podcast. You can catch him on CBS Interactive and FS1. Todd, I get to Las Vegas quite a bit, and I just, when I want to bet on sports, I'll just roll up to the sports book in my hotel or wherever I am at that moment. We had the state rep from Missouri on, and he was talking about there are 13 casinos in the state of Missouri, and what they want to do is they want to have people register and bet at the casino, but then they would be able to, as his bill is currently constructed, bet when they are in and or around the casino, i.e. a restaurant or shop, for example, on the property. It does not allow people who live like 15 minutes away from the casino, at least at this moment, to bet if they are not on the casino property. How does it work currently in Las Vegas, part one? Part two is, how do you think it will wind up working throughout the states outside of Nevada?
Part two, we can probably attack first. I ultimately think if states want to be smart with this, they're going to look to implement the Nevada model. And what that is, as it currently stands, is the ability to place wagers anywhere from inside the state that's geofenced, especially on the mobile app. So that process would require me going into one of the sports books, one of my choice, depositing money over the counter, filling out proper paperwork, supplying my driver's license, my tax ID number, what have you, and then being able to wager wherever I was. If it was on the property, in a pool, in a restaurant, if it was driving 45 minutes away, living somewhere in the suburbs, and feeling like I had the full capabilities of a sports book right in the palm of my hand. Now, the one tricky part with this that I think a lot of states are going to encounter, if you happen to find yourself in any of the border towns, in our case, Laughlin, Nevada, where you have a lot of casinos along the Colorado River, or in Stateline, Nevada up north, you run into some geofencing problems, because if you're trying to ping a cell tower and one of those happens to be on the Arizona border or California, it's going to restrict your wagering. I think a very real possibility for those folks in St. Louis, in Kansas City, on the western portion of the state, that if you don't have every state adhering to the same rules, there are going to be some logistical challenges that players are going to have to navigate through along with the operators as well.
Anytime there's a huge change in the landscape like this could be, if this thing takes off and every state does it, what might be some of the unintended consequences? What are the concerns, if there are some?
Well, I think some of the concerns, whether you want to say they're ill-founded or not, I mean, people are going to worry about match integrity. That's going to be the first discussion point that comes up, especially amongst collegiate athletes, that proliferation of sports betting is going to make an 18-year-old student much more likely to throw a game in some capacity. When in reality, you look at some of the match fixing that's taken place at the collegiate levels, you don't need a legal market for that. If someone wants to take a dive for $500 to $1,000 in Pocatello, Idaho, on an Idaho State game on a Thursday night, there's no way that a legal market is, unfortunately, going to be able to stop that. My biggest fear, and it's only a small one, you do have to put in place responsible gaming statutes and make sure you're giving people the tools, because much like alcohol abuse, gambling abuse can do nasty things for the individual that can't control themselves and for the families and some of the collateral damage there. It's only a small segment of the population, but you want to make sure that you put those safeguards in place, that if people do have a problem with their wagering, they're able to go seek proper help.
Missouri has already got the process started. We just spoke with the state representative last hour. You think there's some states that will say no to this, though, that just won't want anything to do with it?
In terms of sports betting and legalization capacity, I think you're going to see states that are slow to market. From what I've been told, Florida is one of those spots that they just really don't see a whole lot of value in it right now. You're going to see some of the other more conservative Bible Belt states, Mississippi, of course, won't fall under that umbrella, that may take their time in the likes of Georgia. And one state I can say with about 99.9% certainty wants no part of sports betting because they're already trying to lobby against it would be our fine friends that call Salt Lake City or they're anywhere else in Utah home.
Oh, well, that makes sense. But what's Florida's deal?
You know what? I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure if it's more conservative nature of their state Senate composition, because when you look at South Florida, I mean, very liberal and progressive thinking, but maybe up in the north around the state capital, it's a little bit different. Not quite sure why they remain one of the states that have said, we don't really think we need to fast track this or be at all involved with it in any capacity, at least initially.
Yeah, you want to talk about a state being completely different on one end versus the other. Yeah. Todd, I'm curious, you know, when you go to Nevada, as you know, you can't play DraftKings, FanDuel, and so on. What do you think this means for daily fantasy?
I think it's going to change a little bit. You're going to try and find them looking to get a foothold in the state. But at the same time, if DraftKings and FanDuel are going to operate sportsbooks, I really don't think they're going to get gaming approval here in the state, because right now in Nevada, if you want to run a sportsbook, you actually have to have a hotel attached to it, or you have to have an exemption carve-out, which is, allows William Hill to be involved, and that's why the Caesars, the MGMs, and some of those other properties are able to do it. Cantor had to apply for a gaming license and make sure they had a stronghold here as well. So it'll be an interesting, you know, discussion to be had, but I can tell you, when you look at the population here in Nevada, right around, let's call it about 2 million, I don't think this is going to be one of the number one targets for DraftKings or a FanDuel to try and come after in relation to sports betting.
Do you think this will open the door for them to be operate more freely throughout the United States, whereas right now, for example, in Missouri, you can play DraftKings, but there are some states where, because of geofencing, you cannot play?
I do. I think they're going to try and look to either piggyback some of the gaming commissions that are out there as far as licenses are concerned, or try and reposition themselves. If you look at what DraftKings is doing right now, they're trying to ramp up some of their sportsbook personnel, trying to create unique derivatives and head-to-head games that are more involved in sports wagering than some of the daily fantasy.
Yeah.
There are smart people that have been able to keep that fine company afloat over the last couple of years while daily fantasy was shunned by, you know, large sections of the market. Going to be interesting to see what some of these states that have no brick and mortar established gambling presence ultimately look like, because in my opinion, I think those become the true wild, wild west, whereas states like Missouri or New Jersey or Pennsylvania or any Mississippi, they're going to look to try and cater to those brick and mortar operators first and foremost before they open up the floodgates to everybody else.
Todd Furman's our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You can catch him on FS1, host the Bet the Board podcast, gaming analyst. Spoke with Daniel Negreanu a couple months ago, and I asked him about the state of online poker, and he said he didn't see it being legislated as far as the ability to play across the country within the next decade. I feel like yesterday could have been an important domino for online poker, even though they're unrelated in the sense of PokerStars Full Tilt being separate operations from the gaming industry with sports wagering. How do you see yesterday for online poker?
I think poker is going to try and take advantage, and they're going to want to try and put themselves in the wake of sports betting. Wherever sports betting goes in certain states that they may not have a foothold, they're going to try and be able to take advantage of that. At the same time, if you can't offer shared liquidity across multiple states,
right,
it limits some of what poker is able to do. You do have shared liquidity now with a property like Caesars in New Jersey and Nevada, which has opened up some of those additional opportunities. For me, that's what poker needs a lot more, because the larger pool of players you have, it's better for all parties involved. Where sports betting, all you're doing is trying to match your wits with a third-party operator, and you don't have to worry about being able to fill a game at 2 o'clock in the morning for all those insomniacs out there.
You're exactly right. Todd, appreciate it. Know you're very busy with this news. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Appreciate you guys having me.